Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, I've never been very good at promoting any of my books. I've always been a bit self-conscious about it. But I don't mind promoting this because it's the Word of God. And last week I had an email from Mal Fletcher. And I just want to read one paragraph from this, because you might think it sounds the opposite of what I'm going to talk about. But I'll show you that it isn't. He was sent an advance copy, and he said, "You have masterfully combined accuracy of translation with a prophetic pastoral approach to exegesis in a quite unique way. Your approach of including some explanatory notes within the text to help people understand context is unique and helps give the accessibility of a paraphrase with the accuracy of a true translation. This has obviously taken great God-given skill, and I deeply appreciate the approach you've taken." And he goes on to say how he is going to promote it among national and international leaders, and we've sent him a number of copies to do that with. Now, when I read that, it doesn't fill me with pride, because I just say, thank you, Jesus. Because, you see, I know that doing this took me beyond my comfort zone, took me beyond anything that I ever thought God would ask of me. And so what that says to me is that he is an immense God of grace. That is the outworking of his grace. I mean, it sounds complimentary, but when people say things like this, I never take it personally. I can honestly say that. I never puffs me up. I never think, wow, you know, how great. I'm just thankful to God. Why? Because when God gives you a commission, you want to fulfill it. And you know you're dependent upon him. But when you're actually involved in a project like this, you're so on top of it for a couple of years, it's very difficult for you to actually assess how it's going to come across to people. And the initial response has so far been phenomenal, and we can thank God for that, because it is his grace. Now, what this teaches us is to depend upon his grace. Because he has made his grace available to us so that we can trust in that grace to do whatever God asks us to do. The important thing is that we fulfill the purpose of God. So if this is fulfilling what God intended, then praise God, but all the glory belongs to him. And what I'm actually going to talk about this morning is the relationship between humility and power. Now, we would naturally put together faith and power. But actually, humility has a direct consequence on how much of the power of God can be evidenced in our lives. Just take you to a few scriptures, first of all. In Matthew chapter 5, the truly humble, those who are poor in spirit, are blessed because the kingdom of heaven is given to them. The truly humble are blessed. Why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, to avail yourself of all the grace that God has made available to you, you need to be humble before God, because he gives grace to the humble. Now, this is where the great revelation comes in. Because, you see, apart from him, we can do nothing. Now, humility is recognizing that. It's not just agreeing that that's the truth, but it's recognizing that by the way in which you live. Well, I of myself can do nothing. But if I am humble before God, he can give me the grace to do whatever he calls me to do. Have we got that? So we need to stay in that place of humility, so actually that we can stay in the place of power. Because availing ourselves of the grace that God makes available to us releases the riches and the resources, including the power of God, into our lives. Now, you know well the verses in 1 Corinthians 4. Some of you, at the end of the chapter, some of you have become so arrogant, acting as if I will never return to you. But I will be arriving shortly, if the Lord so allows. And then I will see for myself not only what the proud people say, but whether they demonstrate any power of the Spirit. For God's kingdom is not about empty talk, but revealing God's power. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, that the power of God can be manifested in all kinds of ways. Obviously, that power can be manifested in healing and in the working of miracles. But don't limit the power of God just to the miraculous. Because, you see, the power of God is demonstrated in the grace he gives us to enable us to do what in the natural we couldn't do. So that is still the power of God. The power of God has enabled this translation to come into being. The power of the Holy Spirit. It is therefore a work of grace. And if it's a work of grace, all the glory, 100%, all the glory goes to the Lord. All we are, those of us who were working together on it, are just servants of him, depending upon his grace, so he can do whatever he wants through this. And I think I might have told you, when the copies came into the office, that day I came into here and I couldn't really get involved in what was happening at the 8 o'clock. I think you were all getting ready for, the Love Horsham thing. And I just wanted to go for a prayer walk, so I just went down Buckham Park and walked round the lake there. And what I was really saying to God was, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for whatever imperfections there are in this. Because, you see, it doesn't matter how anointed or how much you depend upon God, he is still going to work through the weakness and the imperfection of our humanity. And one of the things we have to recognize is that, therefore, everything we do is to at least some extent affected by that weakness and that imperfection. And the knowledge of that helps to keep you humble, because you know that whatever is good and is fruitful is the work of God the Holy Spirit in you. Whatever is unfruitful is just you. And there's a sense in which God is able to work through our lives despite us, rather than because of us. I mean, there's another sense in which if we cooperate with him, he can work through us because of our obedience. But he is able to take us far beyond what we would be able to do in the natural, so long as our trust is in his grace. And when our trust is in his grace, the power of God is released into whatever we're doing so that God is manifested. The truth is manifested. Life is imparted. And so what you end up with is, despite our human weakness, despite our frailty, despite all our imperfections, God is able to do with us something that really does extend the kingdom of God, enables the kingdom of God to advance. And if we're being fruitful, that is what God is doing. He is causing his kingdom to advance. Now, when Paul is writing to the Colossians, in chapter 3 he says, "You have been raised with Christ to share in his risen life. So set your hearts on heavenly things, for that is where Christ is now seated at God's right hand." You need to have heavenly thinking and not be restricted by mere worldly thoughts. Because you died with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Because he is your life, you will appear with him in glory when he comes again. And that's part of our hope. Now, if we are united with Christ in his risen life, it's obvious that at least theoretically there is no limit to what God can do in our lives. There's no limit to what God can work through us. It takes us beyond our own human limitations into the limitless life and power of God. You see, what does it mean to say that we are in Christ Jesus? We all know this as revelation of the truth that God has taken hold of our lives and placed us in Christ. But what does it really mean in practice? It means that every day we are living in this unlimited life, this endless power of God, a power that cannot be measured, a power that is greater than any other power. And we're in that life because we're in Christ. We're in that power because we're in Christ. And that life is in us because Christ is in us. And that power is in us because Christ is in us. And the important thing of the great revelation is not to allow that to feed pride, so that you say, right, now I have the life, now I have the power, I can do this and I can do that and I can do the other. Because it's not I, but Christ. It isn't that God so much enables us, but God works in and through us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it isn't simply that God, by his grace, equips me or equips you to do this, that, or the other that he's done. Well, what if we remain humble before him, he will do it. Amen. You see, a lot of people who sort of know about these things have said to me in recent days, it must have taken you a long time to do this. Well, it didn't. I mean, the actual translation took about a year, and all the rest has been editing and this and that and the other. I think just over a year, perhaps, 14 months, something like that. Now, that's grace. That's God. Why? Because when God works by grace, he gives. So there were very few points at which I had to sit down and struggle. Now, how am I going to put that? Because God gave me what to say. Now, that makes things so much easier, doesn't it? But if God gave me what to say, none of the glory belongs to me. You see? Now, this is the thing that we have to fight with. Because it's got my name on the cover, I get an email like that that suggests I have done all that, whereas I know that's the grace of God, it's the power of God, it's the goodness of God that enabled all that. You know, for years, I've been used to being introduced to international conferences and so on. Dr. Jim will relate to this. And guys get up and they say all kinds of things about you before you go to the microphone, and you wonder who on earth they're talking about. Because there's this great sort of image that is built up, and you think, wait a minute, I'm just me. You know, never mind all that stuff. What really the truth of the matter is that by his grace, God can work through me. It's just his grace. I mean, if you believed all these kind of things that God said about you, you would never get on a platform again, because you'd get so proud that God would resist you rather than raise you up. Can you understand what I'm saying? In other words, we have to keep a sense of proportion all the time. Now, where faith comes into this whole equation is very simple. We should expect God to work through us by his grace. We should expect the miraculous. We should expect his power to be released into whatever he is calling us to do. And if we recognize that apart from him we can do nothing, if we are therefore dependent upon him, then his life will flow through into the situation, no matter what it is. I mean, even today, you see, even today, your life in college or your life on the team, whatever God puts before you today, the life of God and the power of God can flow through you. God can speak to you. God can give revelation. God can bring all kinds of disparate things together into your thinking. And he can put sort of A, B, C, and D together and make sense of it. It's the power of God that's at work within us. And you know that that moment of revelation when suddenly click, 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 everything clicks into place. And we think, wow, now I understand why God has been doing this and this and this. It seemed that he was doing a whole series of different things, but now he brings it together and he makes sense of it. And this is so often, you see, the way in which God works. And we shouldn't get worried and we shouldn't get anxious. We shouldn't get fearful that God has lost sight of us or lost control of what is going on in our lives. He knows precisely what you're thinking every moment of the day. And the point is that he knows what he needs to work in you and how he needs to work in you in order to bring you to the fulfillment of what he is saying. Now, you've heard me sometimes give testimony because you like the stories of various ways in which I've seen God work through the years. You see, I can talk about the revival in Luton and at the Hyde and so many of the great things that I've seen and the moves of God that I've been privileged to be part of. All that, you can talk about all that as your testimony. And God in heaven is smiling. Because there's a sense in which, you see, he is saying, but little do you know what is coming. You can look back and be thankful, but you don't know what's coming. God can give us, you know, some prophetic promises to encourage us and to help us and to keep our vision looking forward and not back. But you see, that God said to me the other day, when I called you before the creation of the world, I called you to write the truth translation. Now, you didn't know that until 2 years ago, when I first spoke to you to do it. But before the creation of the world, I knew that I would call you to do that. That actually it was going to be part of my purpose for your life, and it was going to be part of my purpose for the thousands, countless, he said, countless thousands of people that will be blessed through it. Said, I got you to do this because it's part of my purpose for those countless thousands to actually meet with me as a result. Now, you see, all that happened before the creation of the world. What have I done? Like you in your life, I've just got on with doing what God has put before me to do, no matter where I've been, the churches I was before Luton, at Luton, ever since, traveling around. God puts his word before you to believe and to appropriate, and he builds up your faith, he builds up your understanding. I was saying to some of you yesterday morning that when I wrote In Christ Jesus, this was like amazing new revelation for people. I'd been around teaching it for 2 or 3 years before that, but everywhere I went, it was like people had never heard it before. Because nobody ever talked about being in Christ. Nobody ever talked about this as a major foundation of our life. And everybody was saying, wow, goodness me, I've never realized this. And that's why that book actually had a tremendous sale at the time. But you see, that was just part of what God did in my life, emerging out of the way that I'd seen God work. Are you with me? Now, you see, you hear something like that that Mal Fletcher has written. What lies behind that? Not my ability. My ability is absolutely nil to do something like this. No, what lies behind that is everything that God has worked in my life for these 46 years of ministry, everything that he has taught me, the revelation he has given, not only about being in Christ, but the revelation of faith. It's about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has been upon my life all those years that enables the Spirit to bring perception of the meaning of the word as it's translated. All that is the grace and the mercy of God. But you see, what I never realized is that way, way back, even before I was born, God had called me to do that. While all these other things were happening, while God was using me in all kinds of other ways, I had absolutely no idea that God would want me to do a translation of the New Testament. And if at any point you'd said to me, one day you would do that, I'd say, you've come to the wrong person. I am not that kind of person. I'm not an academic. I wouldn't even presume to consider doing such a thing. But you see, it's part of the plan and the purpose of God. Now, What none of us can see now is what God is preparing us for in the future. Because he only reveals so much, whatever we need to know to take us into the next step of his purpose. You see, if God had said to me 20 years ago that I would write this, I'd say, I've misheard God. That must be a deceiving spirit or something, because I would never, ever, ever have perceived of doing such a thing. But then God waits until he's got you where he wants you, until you have a certain security in him, so that if he asks you to do something that you know is totally beyond you, you won't say no way, and you won't dismiss it, and you won't say, well, that can't be the Lord. You say, yes, Lord, and you grab a piece of paper and you start to do it. And I can remember that's exactly what I did. I grabbed a piece of paper and I started to do it, and immediately there was such an anointing, because you know when you're being anointed. You really do know when there's a fresh anointing comes upon you. And you think, goodness me, this is God. But you see, all that is him. Where we get into trouble is when pride... Remember Leviathan? He's the king of pride. He's the king over the proud. And the proud are those who want to raise themselves up. Are you there? God raises up the humble. The proud raise themselves up. That's what gives Leviathan his opportunity. So praise God, while you're here as a student, you don't know what he's preparing you for. You might or you might not know what the next step is when you leave Rafi, but you still don't know what you will be doing in 5 years, in 10 years. You still don't know what kind of ministry will grow and develop and blossom out of your life. It isn't a question of getting big ideas of how God can use you, but you see, of walking humbly with the Lord, knowing that he will release his power to enable you to do whatever he asks you to do. And he won't ask you to do it until he knows you're in the right place to be able to do it, not in your strength, but by trusting in his grace, so that his power can actually be made manifest through what it is you're doing. See, it might seem strange to you, but the last few days I've been able to appreciate this. Because I can actually read it now instead of work on it. And when you're working on it, you've got a totally different perception. You're either writing or you're editing or you're proofreading. You're sort of looking at the text as a text because you want to get it right. You want it to be right for the glory of God. But now I can use it and I can say, wow. Why? Because now I'm seeing what God has done. For 2 years, I've been working on it, trusting God, but now I can see what God has done. And that's why all the glory belongs to him. That's not a platitude, it's the truth. If that was a platitude, my ministry would be over. But I know the truth of it. And what I don't know is what this is going to lead to. I mean, God's given me a few ideas of what it's going to lead to, but is it going to lead to doing the Old Testament? I hope not. But that doesn't mean it won't. But I wouldn't dream of doing it unless I got the same revelation from God as I got before I started doing this. You see, I wouldn't make the assumption or presumption that that's what God is wanting simply because people are saying, when are you going to do the Old Testament? And it's, you know, great to have this, but I've got to carry two Bibles around with me now. Or some of you are playing potluck and you're deciding which one to bring to the 8 o'clock, and some of you are bringing the wrong one. Potluck is a lack of revelation, just in case you wonder what that means. When you go by chance and not by revelation. Now, the wonderful thing is, you see, this is what I want to try to impress upon you this morning, is that you don't have to be any great shakes at anything. You really don't. You really do not. When I was in my teens, I was absolutely convinced the only thing I was any good at was cricket. And, you know, my wife sometimes says to me, oh, you've got so many gifts, you can do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I think, but it's not me. You see, that's what God has enabled. Because I, myself, couldn't do any of those things. And it's only out of a life of trust in the Lord, of faith, that he has enabled certain things to grow and develop. It isn't that I was a remarkably gifted person, because I wasn't, until Christ gifted me with his life. But he's gifted you with his life. He's gifted you with his power. He's gifted you with his truth. So all you have to do is to remain humble and say, well, Lord, you know that in and of myself I'm no great shakes, but you are in me. And for you, nothing is impossible. And if my trust is in you, then I can do whatever you ask me to do. And by your grace, you will enable. And I will see your power at work in what I'm doing. Because it's not I, but Christ in me. You remember that scripture, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I think that's what God wants in every one of us, a willing spirit. A willing spirit. That knowing, apart from him we can do nothing, knowing that we're no great shakes in ourselves, knowing that God resists the proud, but he raises up the humble, knowing all those things, we believe. Lord, there's no limits to what you can do in my life except those I place upon you. And that was something that God said to me years ago, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. He said, Colin, the only person who puts any limits on what I can do in your life is you. He said, I have never placed any limits on what I can do through you. The only limits are what you have placed because of your perception of yourself. Because, you know, I really thought I was just no good when I was young. So the only limits that you put are the limitations of what you think and perceive of yourself and what you believe is possible for me to work through you. You are the only one who limits my power in your life. Nobody else can affect how my power works through you. So it's no use looking at anyone else or blaming anybody else if you don't see my power at work in you. You are the only one who can determine how much of my power will work through your life. So I don't want you to limit me. And you see, this is where, if we're not careful, we can cross a line. Because God doesn't want us to be like the Corinthians, who are saying, you know, we can do everything, we have everything, we are kings. And Paul says, well, I wish I was a king like you are. Why? Because they had all the theory, but they didn't see the outworking of what they were talking about. And it's keeping this sort of tension of humility and faith and seeing that actually they are complementary to one another. That it isn't a question of getting a sort of a faith pride. Well, I can do anything now because my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and God can do this and this and this and this and this and this. Now, it's true. Our trust is in Him, in His power. There is no limit to what He can do. But just making sort of faith statements like that doesn't produce anything. But what does is remaining humble before God and say, well, Lord, there's no limit to what you can do through my life, but I recognize I've got to remain humble and dependent upon you for you to do it. And I don't ever want to get into that place of pride where I think I can do it, or I think I'm some great sheikhs, or I consider myself to be such a great anointed person, or any nonsense like that. If you're a person of faith, you will always have others who will accuse you of being proud. But the people that accuse you of pride are those who don't have that faith. And there's this strange thing that goes on in people's lives where they want to pull you down to their level. So you will often find that people without that dynamic of faith will accuse you of pride just because you have an assurance in God. Mm-hmm. And you've got to learn to resist all that, to ignore all that, so long as you know in your heart what they're saying is not true. That you haven't crossed a line and suddenly thought, I'm some great sheikhs and I can do this and I can do that and God can do this through me and God can do that through me. It's all His grace. It all comes out of dependence upon Him. It all, therefore, is for His glory, not for our self-esteem. And the great thing, therefore, is to stay in that place of humility. Not let anything like that get to you and think, whoo, whoo, whoo. You see, I looked at that when Clive showed it to me and I said, well, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know as well as I do that all the glory goes to you and none of it comes to me. And so long as you maintain that, you know, I've told you before, people are always coming up and saying, thank you, I got healed at this meeting, I got blessed there, I came to the Lord through reading this book or listening to that program of yours. And to me, it's got nothing to do with me, absolutely nothing to do with me whatsoever. People are thanking me because somehow I was an instrument. But it makes absolutely, has no effect on me whatsoever. Why? Because every time anybody has ever said, and I mean ever, without exception, has ever said any such thing, I've always said, thank you, Jesus, glory to you. And I say to the person, well, just give God the glory, or thank Jesus, or praise the Lord, because none of it is me. It's him. I didn't heal them, he did. I didn't cause them to be born again, he did. I didn't get them filled with the Spirit, he did. If he just used something I said in a program or in a talk, if he just used something I'd written in a book to do that, well, praise God. But he did it, I didn't. And I know what people are saying. They're wanting to express thanks to God. And you know, sometimes people come and say, I just want to encourage you. Well, okay, thank you, Lord, for the encouragement. Because there are some people who want to discourage you. So it is nice. It is nice to have some people come to encourage you, so long as you give all the glory to the Lord and you don't take any of it to yourself. So praise God. I'm thankful to the Lord. But what I want in my life and what I want for you in your life is to see God do still more. I mean, he told me about this, but he hasn't told me about But he has said there are many greater things ahead. But those greater things can't happen if I get proud. See, I know that from experience. So you stay humble and say, okay, Lord, whatever these greater things are, they will all be for your glory. However you will cause things to work out and evolve, it will all be for your glory. And let me just finish one more thing, because I haven't really been talking about me this morning. I've been talking about you. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about you. Just use myself as an example. But you see, these are the principles that need to operate in every one of our lives. We are all part of Kingdom Faith. Even those of you who are students, while you're here, you're part of Kingdom Faith. And you see, this is where the purposes of God take us beyond ourselves. And we realize there's a context in which God has placed us. Now, let me put it this way. What is of concern to you? What God does in your life, if you like to put it this way, your personal spiritual welfare, or the spiritual welfare of the whole of Kingdom Faith? Now you see, this is a test of our hearts. Because every one of us should rightly be concerned about God's purpose being outworked in our personal lives. But actually, we should be equally concerned about the outworking of God's purpose in Kingdom Faith, of which we're a part. Because God has put us within the context of the body. And we get very selfish and self-centered. Our vision gets distorted when all we're concerned about is what God is doing in me, my life personally. Because whatever God does in each one of us is within the context of what he wants to do in the whole body. Now, you can understand that when you're in leadership, you have to have a concern and a care for the whole body. Everything you do, every decision you make, you know is going to have ramifications for the whole church or for the whole work, the whole ministry, whatever context you're in. That you can't actually make a decision that does not have a repercussive effect upon others. Now, that's something you have to learn to live with as a leader. You can't help it. Whatever goes on in your life is in some way or another going to impact the others around you. So you learn to sort of think in those terms. And even when you're listening to God and he's giving you revelation, you're thinking not only how does this affect me, but how does this affect Kingdom Faith, or how does this affect the body? It just becomes part of your thinking because of the responsibility that God has given you for the flock that is entrusted to you. But actually, this is something that we should all have a care for. Because it may not seem to you that you have the same influence as those in leadership, yet you do have an influence. Whatever God is doing in you will have an influence on the whole body because you're part of that body. And whatever is happening in your life can affect for good or for ill those who are around you, those whose life your life touches. And this is why there's so much about guarding the unity that we have in Christ. This is why there is so much in the scriptures about covenant and about keeping covenant, keeping your responsibilities to one another within the body of Christ, to sort of put it in shorthand. It's so essential to God because he's saying, yes, I'm working out my purpose in your life, but realize that whatever I'm working out in your life is going to have a repercussive effect upon others around you. You see, you come under the influence of whatever you hear. Let me just give you an example. Supposing you hear something negative about someone. It could be something about a leader, could be something about somebody else in the body. But you have heard something negative. Now, you don't know even whether that thing is true or not. But if you receive it, and you think that it might be true or it could be true, immediately your perception of that person has been changed by what you hear. And so if you've heard a negative, you have just taken on board a negative, and what is going to happen? You will spread negativity around you. Now that's how a wrong spirit works. You come under the negative rather than come under the positive. And so you can end up without having any knowledge of what you've heard, whether it's right or not, but you can end up judging, criticizing. Even if you don't do it verbally, it's happening in your heart. And that affects your whole perception and relationship of the people that you've heard about or heard people say things about. But you see, conversely, the opposite is also true. You can spread good things. You can spread encouragement. You can spread faith. You can enable and encourage others to have a real openness to what God is doing and wanting to do in their lives within the corporate context in which he's placed them. What does all this prove? Just one thing. whatever goes on in your heart and mind influences your perception of others and influences the kind of atmosphere that you create around you. None of us in the body of Christ can operate like an island. Because, you see, as part of the body, you're attached to other parts of the body. As a branch of the vine, you're attached to the whole vine. So, how do we put that in the context of what I was saying earlier? Your humility will affect the body positively. If you rise up in pride, or in judgment, or in criticism, you will affect the body negatively. Your obedience is not just your obedience, it's obedience that blesses the body, that enables the Spirit of God to move more freely in the body. You might say, but I'm just a member. Yes, but God knows the spiritual realities. That the more that are open to Him, the more that are moving in obedience to Him, the more that are truly submitted to His will, the more the whole body is blessed. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to one another as well as to the Lord. And we have a responsibility to ourselves to stay humble, to stay in that place of submission to God, to stay depending upon His grace, so that His life and His power can enable God to do in our lives what otherwise we would not be able to do, so that the body is blessed. See, this will bless the body of Christ. See? Now, that's God's grace. All I had to do was say, yes, Lord, and then do the necessary work. But what will bless? What will bless the body? Not me, but the anointing. And what is the anointing? The anointing is God. The anointing is the work of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the way God will take it and use it to speak to people. So all the glory belongs to God.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm really managing to get across what I believe God is wanting us to understand this morning. So you see, you can just be tied into being obedient to what God is telling you to do today and every day, and you cannot see the repercussions and how that is going to influence other people, how God is going to work through your obedience to bless the whole body, or at least to bless others in the body, because you are going to radiate around you the positive life, the love, the faith, the dependence upon His grace and His power that is going to have a positive effect upon other people. And all you can do is say, thank you, Jesus. Yes. To you belongs all the glory. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord for His anointing on your life. You have the anointing of the Holy One, and that anointing remains. Thank Him for that anointing. Thank him for the grace that has been operating through your life. It is by grace you have been saved. That God's call upon your life was his grace. God's purpose for your life can only be outworked by depending on his grace. So thank the Lord that everything he has already accomplished in you is the work of his grace. It's not what you have done, lest you should boast, the scripture says. No, it's what God has done in you and through you. So give him thanks. For whatever ways God was using you last week in Love Horsham, just give God the glory, give him thanks. Lord, it was your enabling. It's what you did. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you think in any way you have taken glory to yourself, just ask the Lord to forgive you and just come back to that place of humble submission to him and say, Lord, just forgive me if I've let pride get to my heart, if I've therefore let any judgment or criticism get into my heart, because all that is the fruit of pride, of thinking that I know better than the others that I've judged and criticized. Lord, forgive me for my pride, because that is pride, you see. So say, Lord, forgive me for my pride that has caused me to judge others, perhaps even to condemn others, to criticize, that desire to pull others down in order to build myself up. Forgive me for all that stuff, Lord, because it's rubbish. And I realize it's rubbish. And forgive me for even listening to such rubbish. Lord, I listen to your word. And I want to be a man, a woman of your word. And thank you that the anointing that you have placed upon me is the Spirit of truth who reminds me of everything that you have said, who takes the word and declares it to me. And Holy Spirit, I want you to keep reminding me of your word so that I don't allow any pride to get into my heart, to get into my thinking, to get into my speaking, to get into my decisions. I want to stay humble. I want to stay humble before you. I want to stay humble before others. And Lord, as I stay humble and dependent upon you and dependent upon the anointing, I thank you that your power is going to fill everything that I do in your name, everything to obey the leading of your Spirit. And Lord, I believe that today your power will be working in me, your power will be working through me, that I will be so conscious, Lord, that only I am the one who has placed any limitations on you, and you are going to take me beyond my limitations. You're going to keep doing more and more and more in my life. You're going to give me a greater perception of what you are able to do, not because I'm any great shakes, Lord, but because you are so powerful that my weakness doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus, that your power is made perfect in my weakness. Glory be to your name. Praise you, wonderful Jesus. Pura tapare zato bakarasitoba. Bara tapare zutori saratori lerabakarasitoba. Brostakari esitori santari lerabakarasitori sandoma. Brostakari esitori sarato bakarasitori sandoma. Brondaria situri saratori e l'erba carasitri sanduma.
Ombarazatare l'erabakara sitri santo. Ombarazatare l'erabakara sitri sato bakarasinama. Ombarazatare l'erabakara sitri sando. Boratapare sitri sato bakarasinama. Ombarazalama soturi satare l'erabakara sitri sandoma. Ombarazatare leto bakara sitri satoba. Hallelujah. 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 Now, why do you say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what lies ahead of me. I don't know how you're going to cause your purpose to be outworked in my life. But I do appreciate that what you're doing in my life now is preparing me for what lies ahead. And everything that you have so far done in my life is all part of the build-up for what you're going to do through my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are in charge, you are in control, and you are teaching me every day. You're teaching me what is right. You're teaching me what is wrong spiritually. And Lord, I pray that by your grace, you will keep me walking in what is right and enable me to say no to everything that is wrong. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I want to keep in step with you, and I want to keep in step with all the others around me so that together we are walking in the truth. Together we're walking in unity. Together we're walking in your plans and your purposes. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. We bless your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Pura taparia zatu pakara sitri sanduba. Borra tapari esituri saratu bakarasitoba. Barra tapari esituri saratu bakarasitoba. Brostakari esituri santo bokalasituri sandoma. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.